This is Motif Radio, the station exclusively devoted to artistic ideas. On today's show, we have opinions on the current state of fine art photography from four contemporary photographers. Tucker McNeil and Brett Kolusky, both in their first 10 years of being professional photographers. Alexa Kent, a few years out of university. And also David Heberlein, a photographer who's been making pictures for over 35 years. Throughout the show, you will also hear excerpts from a performance I'm working on at the moment. Enjoy the show. And now, I hand over to Tucker.
In this month's March 2006 edition of Art News, the writer and art critic, Richard B. Woodward, has written a commentary on issues facing contemporary photographic practice. I've asked several photographers to read this article and give me thoughts on the veracity of Mr. Woodward's comments and how, as photographers, they feel about contemporary photography. Before we begin their comments, here's mine. Whilst reading the article, Altered States, by Richard B. Woodward, in the March 2006 issue of Art News, I was gripped by a strange mixture of both elation and despair. Why? Well, the subtitle to the article is, "As the end of black and white printing signals a transformation in the practice of photography, the medium itself is more popular than ever." Wait. The end of black and white printing? What? The article goes on to speak about Kodak no longer creating its print paper, and Agfa's bankruptcy, and basically how even if the medium of black and white photography keeps its stalwarts, really, it's going away. There's no hope for black and white photography. And besides this article, I mean, there's actually more thoughts about this. Henri Cartier-Bresson just died last year, Gordon Parks died a month ago, and, oh no, all the greats are dying! It's the end, we just know it! Chicken Little, the sky is falling! Well, something tells me that the media isn't as dead as the current talking heads of photographic criticism seem to want it to be. However, let's just say that being a black and white photographer is going to get downright difficult, what with the searching around for the last bastions of photographic paper and chemistry, not to mention finding film. You see, the marvelous Mr. Woodward isn't finished. The death of black and white photography for him is the birth of a new dawning age of photography. In his words, "The future of photography is no longer controlled by makers of paper, film, darkroom, chemicals, and enlargers, but by Intel, Apple, Hewlett-Packard, Epson, and the information companies." Man, what a dismal idea that is. We seem to be moving from the discussions of grain, saturation, contrast, cool and warm tone papers, to pixels and DPI and picometer ink drops, and not to mention archival pigment and megapixel. Ah! Now, just wait a minute. Seriously, let's all take a deep breath and calm the heck down. I'm sure that painters bemoaned their medium's greatest artists dying as well. And let's not even talk about the creation of acrylic paint messing about with the real paint that is called oil. Oh no. All media has its day, and all media go through the transformations. However, before I start my rebuttal, I'll give you just a little bit about my background. I hold a BFA in photography from the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and an MFA in international practice from the Kent Institute of Art and Design in Canterbury. I have been making pictures since I was 5 years old, when my father gave me a really cute Olympus 35mm camera. I've been in and out of darkrooms for just shy of 30 years. That's right. I'm 33, and I've been in darkrooms for almost 30. You know, really, the only reason I wasn't in there earlier was because Dad didn't trust me around really great chemicals for, like, developing Cibachrome till I was 5. But I digress. I love photography. I love the making of pictures, the developing of film, and seeing an image magically appear on the print when I'm in the darkroom under the amber lights. I love this stuff! Due to my childhood, I can't think of anything that says home to me more than the smell of Stop, Bath, and Fixer. In spite of this, or perhaps due to my habit getting a little bit to the point of addiction, and the Photographer's 12-Step program, you know, cuts into that too. Anyway, I too have joined the digital photography craze. There are a few reasons for this, the main one being that I travel, and I make photos on both sides of the pond. I've lost enough film due to airport x-ray machines that I'm a little bit leery of it. Also, even whilst using black and white film and paper, I have also been using the computer to enhance and also plain just mess with my work with Photoshop since I was in undergraduate school. Oh yeah, I've used traditional elements and digital ones for pretty much 7 or so years, but now I've completely switched over. I'm hip, you see. I get my prints output instead of printed. I mount on aluminium, not matte board. Like, I like my stuff huge. The bigger, the better. Watch out, Gursky. I'm just hooked. Uh-oh. Is it a new addiction, perhaps? Time to call my photographic 12-step sponsor. Am I, too, a contributor to the death of black and white photography? Am I also responsible for destroying the art form? Nah, I don't think so. Simply because the art form, the media of photography itself, is a constantly changing and amorphous thing. We're not looking at the death of anything here, folks. No, we're simply in the middle of yet another example of the metamorphosis of the photograph. Remember the daguerreotype? Well, no, I suppose most don't actually remember that era, especially those of you who are listening to a podcast for crying out loud. But daguerreotypes were the media at the beginning. Dreadful process, that. Then there was Henry Fox Talbot, who patented the idea of negatives and positives and developing and fixing back in the mid-1800s. The death of photography. Then there was color photography in the mid-1900s. The death of photography. And now we're up to the digital age. Bits and bytes, and viewing photographs on liquid crystal displays, or CRTs instead of on walls. Or heck, even on walls now, I suppose due to the marvelous advances in flat-screen technology. Wow, yet another death of photography. Photography is a fluid medium. It's an exciting in its way to capture moments of our time and show us scenes from far away or even very close up. It's opened our world to new forms of communication and understanding. Our entire existence in the West is filled to overflowing with imagery. Other media tends to be jealous of photography. You ever hear a painter complaining about photography and saying it's not a real art form? Heck, I've heard that so many times I've become bored with the conversation. Photography, and its cousin the moving image, has completely saturated our culture to an amazing degree. Although its form may change over time, unlike painting, which is still all about scraping pigment across the surface, photography maintains its fluidity and grace. You know why this is? I think I have a reason. It's really all about the image. It's the varied subject matter that photography continues to capture during the world's momentary inattention. The image, the item, the scene, the object. Robert Mapplethorpe, one of my personal favorite artist photographers, once said something that most photographers would not actually say. He said, "I never liked photography, not for the sake of photography. I like the object. I like the photographs when you hold them in your hand." I don't personally agree with the first part of his quote, but the second is very true. I also enjoy holding an image in my hand. I love the computer and what it allows me to do. However, there's nothing like finally having a touchable and tangible image that you can hold in your hand, or plaster across a wall for that matter. There's nothing more exciting for me as a photographer than going somewhere exotic, like a tiny island off the coast of Scotland, and making a photograph that someday may be hanging up in a trailer home in Hibbing, Minnesota. That's a gift that perhaps most artists feel when they give to their world. It's an opening of an eye, a broadening of experience, or even for some, a creation of a dream. Like a butterfly breaking out of his chrysalis, the rebirth isn't easy. My photo guy is closing his shop at the end of May. Larry's been my fixture in the neighborhood photo developing shop. I've been going to him for years to print off a roll here or there, or to burn a photo CD for me from film, or just to ask questions. I actually learned how to print color photographs on his big EGFA print developer. I mean, come on, giving a customer an entire day of instruction and experience just 'cause? Yep, that was Larry. He's been losing money every year for about 6 years now, with the advent of digital photography and home photo printers. Larry's been losing his shirt. I honestly felt my heart tug, as it were. I've been going to this wonderful guy and his co-owner and wife Linda for over 10 years, and the end of an era has finally come. It's a dreadfully sad time. However, it's also inevitable. They've been doing their best, moving from only film to picture CDs, large format inkjet printing, all the way to t-shirt transfers. However, the money is still falling off, and thus, Larry is quitting the photographic processing business. There is a sadness in the metamorphosis of photography. However, these changes do tend to be inevitable, and the positives far outweigh the negatives, pardon the pun. The sharing of the visual world and the communication of ideas through the medium of images, whether they are monochromatic or richly colored, are the things that make photography wonderful. The loss of some light-sensitive paper isn't going to change anything, really. Photography will go through its little growing pains, and will probably continue to do so for the rest of time. And I, for one, am going to enjoy the ride. Now that I've had my rant, after the break, we'll be talking with Brett Kolusky, an American photographer currently working in Italy. Okay, we're back. So Brett, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get going.
Hello, this is Brett Kolusky. I'm calling from Palermo, Italy. I'm currently on a Fulbright for visual arts photography, a recent graduate from Cranbrook Academy of Art with my Master of Fine Arts in Photo.
Mr. Woodward seems to stress that photography as a medium is more popular than ever.
I think this is due to the availability of less expensive cameras and easier functionability. It's digestible to more people now. Everyone is a photographer. Cell phones, digital cameras, disposable cameras, Polaroids, etc. And I think it's an egalitarian market-driven utopia. In a way, it's a contemporary manifestation of the idea behind Kodak's Brownie camera.
Mr. Woodward also stressed the dependence that photographers have on materials and technology. Do you agree?
I think since its inception, photography has always been dependent on materials and technology. It's nothing new. It's just been the nature of the beast, so to speak, a constant ebb and flow of working methodologies. The only constant from the time of the camera lucida has been the dependence on light, and I don't think this is going to change at all. Other than that, all bets are off.
The author, wrote about new photographers.
And I also agree with the author about the idea that people who are who've recently embraced the technological changes that have happened within the last 10-15 years have been less affected by the crumbling of the quote-unquote traditional staples of photography, i.e. black and white, etc.
Mr. Woodward makes a pretty big deal about new technologies for disseminating photography to the society as a whole. He made a point that in the 20th century, books were the primary vehicle for the photographic media.
And I think this is also true, and I think this in itself is both photography's blessing and curse. I feel this is a core theoretical debate right now, and on one hand, as a visually literate culture, we're able to ingest, translate, and decode imagery at a far more rapid pace than ever. On the other, much of it's worthless garbage that doesn't affect us on the same level, say, as would an image of the Pyramid of Giza taken in the 19th century, shown to a 19th century Eskimo. Now, of course, this example is a little bit extreme, but I think it illustrates the value difference between imagery now and then. Today, we're more likely to be less affected by the grace or beauty of imagery, of photographs. He goes on to talk about the temporal imagery is necessitating the urge for context and foundation, i.e. making a photograph on paper, and then talks about books as influential format more so than original prints. I don't think either one of those points is anything new. And he goes on to talk about recapping photography within a historical context, all the shows that have been coming out, the books, market savvy younger photographers thinking monographs equal exhibitions. He's hitting on a good point.
Like any good critic, Woodward has to tell us about the current trends in photography. He brings up personal documentary.
I think it says a lot of younger photographers are going this route, and I don't think it's, I mean, it's not so much a trend as much as it's a trend within the curatorial world to notice it's a trend.
One thing that bugged me a bit, as a digital photographer myself, was Woodward's talk about the divide between traditional photographers and digital ones. What do you think?
Again, this is sort of a passé argument. Photographers, especially in their 20s and early 30s, even into their 40s, could care less so much about the idea of what manipulating a photograph is or is not in terms of purity. I think it's sort of a dead issue.
A final statement that Woodward makes is the idea that the photographer must either adapt to changing technologies or get left behind.
Well, I think this has always been the case. I mean, there's always been new technology from the time it's been created until now. So it's nothing horribly new or insightful. But I think, if anything, my thoughts are that back to the idea of the dissemination of images, how does a photographer make something that's meaningful in today's super saturated society? And for me, I think in the work that I do, or I'm trying to do, is it's one of the foundations of at least of the philosophical bent.
Well, thanks a lot, Brett, for speaking to me from Palermo, Italy.
Alexa Kent is a practicing artist photographer who works in the south of England. She sent us this email comment. I find this particular debate very interesting and feel as if I could potentially rant about this for hours, so I will apologise now if I bore you. I think that, like many photographers who have turned to the dark side, as I call it, we all remember the benefits and the exceptional beauty of the traditional methods of black and white printing that you simply cannot reproduce digitally. I myself have recently taken on the methods of digital photography for my own fine art practice, and also for the commercial photography that I undertake to support this practice. This was a moral struggle for me, particularly as an artist and a firm believer in the skill and the practical hands-on elements of photography. I have been putting it off for the last few years, but have finally given in to the seductive charms. The important thing to remember here is that although I have started to work digitally, I still work with film cameras too. A few years ago, when digital was first getting big, I used to work in a camera shop where lots of the customers would come in and exchange their old film camera for a digital one. I then used to buy their second-hand camera for cheap. I really did think they were crazy. Anyway, let me tell you about my new seductive friend. First of all, my new friend is most definitely a man. He is digital. He is chunky and heavy and reminds me of a lot of his old sister, who is the smaller 35mm version of him. Although he is beautiful and I seem to be getting good results, I am still very sad to say that I don't trust him completely. His older sister seems to be getting jealous, not to mention his auntie, who is an old ropey underwater rangefinder. It all seems to be getting very messy. Since embracing this new technology, I've realized that, of course, there is still a very huge amount of skill involved, and an even bigger world of manipulation through the use of computers. For me, my digital friend has only added to my real floor of impatience. It has been amazing, as I no longer have to wait until I can access a dark room, not to mention waiting for film to dry, followed by the long and often frustrating printing process. Thinking about it, I think it has made me quite lazy. Like many elements of my life, I love to have the option of variety with my work. Although I now use digital methods, I would be very mournful if I knew that I could never have the chance to be in my sanctuary of the dark room. Everything about that room is so special for me. The smells, the tranquil lighting, they all conjure up fond memories of the excited delight of discovering that I had captured something amazing. That surprise element is something that I still enjoy now, and for that reason I still do use my darkroom from time to time, depending on what my work demands. But from reading various photographic magazines and journals in the UK at the moment, it looks like these days will soon be over, and we will all have to rely on these digital beings. It doesn't seem possible that film cameras will be totally obsolete. Surely there will be at least one manufacturer who can continue to produce for the people who still demand the use of film. We've heard from photographers whom, although all trained in traditional methods of photography, have also embraced the digital revolution. To attempt to be complete in our coverage of the contemporary practice of photography at Motif Radio, we've saved this final artist comment that will hopefully bring our conversation to a satisfactory conclusion.
David Heberlein is an experienced artist photographer whose practice is based in Wisconsin. He also teaches photography at the University of Wisconsin River Falls. His email comment: "Geez, I feel like I must defend something that I enjoy, a way of artistic life for me for the past 35 years. The nature of photography is changing, has changed. How photographs are now made is very different than it was when I learned to make pictures." There are many important aspects to digital photography, but I don't think that this should justify the elimination of photographic film and chemistry just yet. What hasn't changed is the fact that you must still frame something in the rectangle or square. It has to be what you want it to be, whether you arrive at the picture in a landscape or after Photoshop manipulation on the computer monitor, the darkroom, or standing around the Epson. Photographs can be just as boring to look at, whether you are staring at finely resolved dots of grain pattern or finely pixelated shades of color. Art is about process. Process for me is part of the ritual. I make negatives in a camera. I have something tangible to hold on to when the process is over. I don't worry about how I might access my work. It's in three-ring binders. I can scan my negatives and enter the digital world when necessary. Moving prints from one smelly tray of chemistry to the next invigorates me. I move around in a dimly lit, darkened room. It's as quiet as it needs to be. I have no distractions. I'm not really the one to comment about the current state of photography in the art world. I think it is silly for anyone to be paid $1.2 million for a photographic print. It's obviously a game that I could not play very well. Big prints were in. Now some say the small print is making a comeback. Some of us thought small went out of fashion. Most of us don't care about what's in or out of fashion. Making interesting photographs is what it's all about. Who knows? Maybe years from now, radically minded photographers will be making pinhole cameras out of their computer monitor boxes, raiding old fart photographers' houses for their film stash.
Sex. But I'm sure it'd be quite an evening.
Yep, you guessed it, we're back in the elevator again. Today I have chosen some particularly detestable music for those of you who don't send me comments, fiction, or various and sundry modes of art. As for the photographers, yay for them! Cheers for the contributions, guys, and thanks to Tucker for his input and co-production of today's show. As for the rest of you, I don't bite, so send me stuff. Thanks for listening. Cheerio. Motif Radio and its contents are copyright of Fiona McNeil, unless otherwise stated. Fiona McNeil, copyright 2006.